I just turned this tape over now, and this is Frank Young. What kind of trip did you have, Frank?
We had a wonderful trip. It rained a little bit, but the roads was fairly good. We started in Fairbanks about 11:30 and drove that evening up to Lassen Field. That's the old Lassen Field there at the mouth of Jack Wade. And we camped there for probably 4 or 5 hours and then drove on into Dawson, which took us another 3 or 4 hours. And we got here about 12 o'clock.
Today.
I
wasn't too far off on keeping checking up on you, was I?
No, he was pretty close.
Did he tell the truth, Dolly?
No, we were here before 11.
Before 11?
Were we?
Yeah, by Alaska time.
Yeah, but you're dealing with the wrong clock. You're 1 hour off here. If you look at your watch and look
no,
at mine.
No, when we were in the restroom.
Oh.
See, well, you're more than the restroom, but yeah. If you go by this.
See here, your clock's 1 hour off, see?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of fibbed for an hour, didn't you?
No, that was your restroom time.
Yeah?
Now, let me tell you a story about that.
Well, we wound up down here on the Klondike River in a trailer court, and we found Frank Young well settled in here, but he said he had to get out of the rain, so he took off.
Are you all settled?
I just brought Jens Walzine and Andy Wicken up to the Robert W. Service cabin, and we'll see what they have to say about it when they get back.
Well, now Andrew and Jance are back in the car, and what did you think of that service cabin, Jance?
Well, I think it's all right. It looks like an old bachelor's cabin, and looks like it was in fairly good shape, and seeing an old Yukon stove, and we signed our name there and said goodbye.
Andy, you're tour conductor here. What have you got to say about it?
I've been up there several times in other years, but the cabin is kept up better now than it was a few years ago, and it's got a good roof on it, and everything seems to be in pretty good shape inside. Well, we visit the cemetery here. Up against the hill.
This is the Pioneer Cemetery.
Pioneer Cemetery back of town. Up against the hill. And it's overgrown with grass like most old cemeteries are, and weeds. And some of the markers, which are made of white boards and burned in names, they're down. And pretty hard to make out the names, some of them.
What was the oldest one you seen?
That was...
96?
That was 1896, the oldest one. And then 1897, 1898, and up to 1923, I believe.
26, some of them.
That's... late as 1926. This is rather small cemetery, so they must have started other ones in other parts of the city here, outside the city. This is the only one I've seen here.
It appears to be probably, maybe 150 graves altogether in here in this small space. Maybe not quite that many, but it looks about that many. And it looks to be that they're getting ready to probably fix this up and preserve it. I see a lot of new posts set in there, laying in there. Several markers fell down. And the old sign over the gate that says Yukon Order Pioneers Cemetery is pretty well deteriorated, needs replacing. I have taken about 6 or 7 photographs in this area to put with this tape story. We'll move on down the line again.
Well, after we left the cemetery, we run into Mrs. Frank Mableton and two ladies, one from Tolkien, one from Seattle, in their car.
landed here in Dawson, and they've arranged for a place to stay tonight, and she was looking for a place for tomorrow and the next night. So we left there, and we run into Paul Griman and Mrs. Griman down here in front of the fairgrounds. They've been out to visit the Franklins at the Glen Franklin Mine, and on the way back into town. Now we're moving downtown, and I guess Jance is going to go prospecting around town and see what he can find.
Well, a number of years ago, they sent for Jim Hagen from Dawson City. They were looking for an outlawed fellow to come up on the boat, and they didn't want him to locate here in Dawson City. So Jim Hagen made the trip to Dawson and stood on the landing when the boat pulled in, and he pointed out when this fellow stepped off the boat, and he said, "That's the man you're looking for." So they followed this man around town. He went into a bar, and they followed him in, and he said, "When that boat pull out of here, be sure that you're on it." So then they went out, and they said, "What in the world are them fellas?" He said, "They told me that I had to get on that boat and get out of here." Well, the bartender told him, he said, "That's what they told you. You better follow orders, because they mean business." So he said, "If you don't want to get in trouble," he says, "be sure to get on that boat." And he did get on the boat and got out of the country. And then number of years later, Jim Hagen met him again. And he had turned to be a fair and square fellow. He said, "You've done the right thing," he said. "They drove me out of Dawson, but," he said, I turned around to be a good man." So that settled that part of it.
You know, I knew Jim Hagen over when he was marshal over in Nenana.
Oh, yeah. When him and Senoff went out in the hills.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Jim Hagen in his early life was in the woods around Snohomish, Washington.
Yeah, Snohomish.
Down in the logging camps.
Yeah, I see him.
And he left there kind of in a hurry.
Yeah.
I guess he did some shooting down there, and somewhere or other there was somebody looking for him.
Yeah.
And he always expected to find him, but he never did come up here after him.
No.
But he was always leery.
Yeah, I see him.
See, I was around Nenana for a couple of weeks before he let me know what it was about.
Oh, I see him.
Then he finally let me know what it was about. Somebody else told me, and I went and talked to him.
See? Yeah, I see him.
Because I was from Everett and Snohomish and Seattle, you see, in the same country.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know him down there.
No.
But I've been all around those logging camps and mills.
Yeah.
Where he was.
Yeah, I see him.
But I was in later years, you see.
Yeah. Well, was he in trouble down there?
Well, yeah, he left there by encouragement.
He did, huh?
Oh, yeah, he was encouraged to leave.
Yeah, I see him.
We had a choice, in other words.
Yeah, I see him.
So, there was another marshal here of the name of, Stan Nichols.
Yeah, I knew him.
And that case has never been solved either.
No, I see him.
See, his wife went out to Florida where he was found killed in a motel.
Yeah.
And that was never solved.
It was never solved. No.
But the police in Florida there gave her the gun his gun that he was killed with, and she brought it back to Fairbanks, and she made the trip back and said that there was no hope of finding out how he was killed. But he had been picking up hitchhikers.
Oh, I see. Mm.
So that's another unsolved case.
So there was somebody laying for him.
Well, evidently.
Yeah, evidently. Yeah.
I heard, too, that he was in a dope racket.
Well, I guess it was mixed up in this. A lot of this gambling at that time was going on. And there was a bunch of bums come into Alaska with narcotics.
Well, sure.
So there no doubt.
See, Jim Crowden, he was in trouble too, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I was in the Seattle Hotel down on Pioneer Square there.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting mixed up down the road somewhere. Yeah. And it's hard to get out.
Yeah. That time here in Fairbanks, so that cab driver was picked up in that front apartment of yours with that cigar box full of marijuana, you remember?
Yeah.
And he didn't even know that there was in the house at the time, did you, Andy?
Oh, was that in your house then?
Yeah, in one of his apartments.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the police had occasion to let me know.
Yeah, I see.
Because my going about my business, they didn't pay attention to me.
No, sure.
So they put a man over in the next street with a field glass watching the place.
Yeah, I see.
But first, the fire inspector found it.
Oh.
The fire inspector was there to inspect the building, and he didn't say anything about what he seen, and he seen this cigar box full of weeds.
Yeah.
And of course, he tipped them off. That's how they come in and pick them up.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, there's more than one way to catch a rat.
I don't know what happened to Jim Crowden. Was he killed too? Or
no. Okay. No, I don't. He wasn't killed, but he was involved in something. Oh, I don't know all the details.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, there's been a lot of stinkers here in this country in the early days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's just another one of those sidelights to what happens, and the public never gets all the details exactly as they are. They're generally inflated or glamorized. It's like they told me about Johnny Swagler killing a couple of Russians. It turned out that he didn't kill them. He took them prisoner and brought them over to Nome.
Yeah, see.
The story was all tangled up.
Yeah.
So I got the real story from Johnny Swagler himself, and I put it on tape because I didn't have the recorder with me.
Yeah. Well, that's the way they got rid of Frank Weissman here when he was marshal there in town, shooting that fella that climbed up on the fence to look into in the ball game or the park.
Yeah.
Shot him just because he didn't go through the gate and pay his fare. Mm-hmm. They sent him out of Fairbanks, sent him down the river to get him out of there because everybody had it in for Frank Weissman. And then chance of one, somebody would have killed him for it. Old man, you know, and didn't have the money.
What happened to the man?
Killed him.
He killed the man?
Well, sure, shot him.
Just for looking in?
Climbing up on the fence to look in.
Well, there's always a lot of gun-happy people around the world.
So they had to send Frank Weissman out of there because, Lord, everybody had it in for him. Mm-hmm. And somebody would have killed Frank, too. Mm-hmm. Laid for him someday.
Oh, yeah.
Just for a few cents, what's the difference? He wasn't a murderer or anything like that. He wasn't hurting anybody. He wasn't as far as climbing the fence and looking in. Mm-hmm.
That's just another incident of something that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we're standing on the streets of Dawson here, crossing the Keno in front of the Dawson Arts Craft Shop, Nugget Jewelry, and I'm talking to a friend from Eagle. Now, give me your full name.
Andrew Gayak.
And you come over here for the celebration?
I come over to a celebration and bring a bunch of kids with me.
And you're a member of the Pioneers of Alaska?
Yeah, I'm a pioneer member for about 12 years at Fairbanks, Alaska.
And you brought the kids over to go to the shows?
Go to shows and see the celebration tomorrow.
What is your business in Eagle?
I'm just retired.
Just retired, having a good time?
Having a good time.
Well, that's what all of us are trying to do.
I'm retired.
I see. I want to. Where were you born?
I born in Hungary.
Hungary. Yeah. Do you remember the name of the town?
Nutschein.
Nutschein, Hungary.
Yeah. Yeah. Boronyomagyar.
In what?
Province, Boronyomagyar.
A province of Boronyomagyar. Can't quite say that. And do you have any family here
No.
You're all alone in
Alaska. All alone, always was.
Mm-hmm. This is just my notes of this trip. But some of this information I get helps the historian, you see, and the Pioneers organization. These tapes all wind up with the Pioneers. Mm-hmm. And I suppose you're getting ready to go home when? Sunday night?
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
And you brought 12 youngsters with you.
12 youngsters.
Well, that was sure a goodwill move, wasn't it?
Well, they all like me. They're always holding me around. They're picnicking and everything.
Yeah, I met you over in Fairbanks, but I didn't remember your name. But I remember your face. Mm-hmm. Well, this is another contact on this trip, and I'll terminate the tape for right now. And the time is 8:40 p.m. in the afternoon or evening, and we're getting ready to go see some of the doings tonight.
Okay.
Well, this evening we spent the evening at the community hall, and we had the bingo games and the blackjack game and some entertainment, and then we had the little skit called Shooting of Dan McGrew. And about midnight I went and turned in, went to bed, and this morning, this is August the 17th, 1962 at Dawson City, I got up early, 7 o'clock, went down to one of the coffee shops and had my coffee, and during my travel this morning, about 9 o'clock, I met Frank Young and Dolly Young, had another cup of coffee, and we went around town. We went up and called on Mr. Fry, Secretary of the Yukon Order of Pioneers, and gave him the tape with the stories of Billy Gelcher and Bill Sherman of the early days of Dawson. And Frank Young and myself, Frank settled up his dues with the Yukon Order, and I made a little donation, small donation to the welfare fund. And we will be meeting about 11:30 or quarter to 12 at the Yukon Order Pioneers Hall here in Dawson to get ready for the parade and the ceremony. The time now is 10:05 in the morning. I just moved down here to took a picture of a building that Frank Young tells me his father had a little store in the early days. In later years it was a sheet metal shop and looked like hardware and horseshoes and miscellaneous things with some big saws nailed on the building. I wanted to get a picture of this building for this tape story. I just come down here to the recreation grounds next to the government headquarters and took a picture of the old steam locomotives and an old steam tractor and two exposures of the ball field and the produce display. I just took a picture of the pensioner's home here. It's a low rent project of there's 12 or 14 rooms in this building. It was built in the last 2 years for taking care of the old retired pioneers of the Dawson City area, and it's called the Sunset Home. It's based on, similar to our Birch Park low earning area where they can rent for very low rent based on their income. Most of these pensioners that are drawing somewhere around from 80 to 125 a month can live in this project. The rent's based on their earnings, and the Canadian government has set up a very nice project here for the old pioneers. The welfare cases are still taken care of down by the sisters in the hospital. Well, I just took a picture of the pioneers' home where they take care of the welfare cases by the sisters here in Dawson City, and I took a couple of pictures of the building here and went in and visited with seven or eight of the real old-timers here for a little while. And one or two of them I had met before. And there's a big fellow by the name of Dan that worked the river here for many years, clear down into the Alaska side. He worked on the Nenana and the Tananaw and a number of other boats, he told me. He is almost totally blind, and he's a little perturbed at his age that he should be blind. And I had quite a conversation with him, cheered him up a little bit. I just, the time now is 5 minutes after 11, and I had spent a little time visiting over at the Pioneer home, and now I come back and visit a few minutes with Katie McLennan, and Teddy Watch is here in the car with me. Teddy?
Hmm? Yes, sir, I am here.
You say hello to John Hajdukovic.
Hello.
To John.
To John.
Hajdukovic.
Hajdukovic.
You remember him, don't you? John and Milo?
Yes.
Milo's passed away.
Milo, yeah.
Okay, Teddy. We're going down. Get ready for our parade.
Yeah, then I have to go there.
The time now is 20 minutes to 12, and I've taken four or five exposures around the Yukon Order of Pioneers Hall here at Dawson City and met some new old-timers that I hadn't met before, and some of the old ones I renewed acquaintance. And we just brought some from the Pioneer home down to go on the float in the parade. Well, we just had the parade. It started at about 12:15 from in front of the Pioneers Hall here in Dawson, and we marched down around through town and over to the fairgrounds. And you'll hear the music in the background of the Canadian Mounted Police Band. Band is passing back to the starting point of the parade. I just got back down here a few minutes ago to the Yukon Hall, and we have the Royal Canadian Air Force Band playing in there. We're really shaking the building down. And Frank Young and your name?
W.E. Troberg.
Mr. Troberg is in the car with me. We're heading for the airport, hoping that we meet somebody coming in from Fairbanks. Well, we got out here to the Dawson Airport, and a wing plane come in 5 or 10 minutes ahead of time, and Bob Steele showed up on the plane, and the time, you say, was postponed for Governor Egan to show up till about 4:30?
Yes, 4:30.
Around 4:30. I'm recording my trip on here, if you want. The time is now 4:40 p.m. and the Canadian Pacific Airlines came in with some passengers, and the governor and his wife are on the plane,
And we're leaving to go to town now, to Dawson City, from the Dawson City Airport.
You might mention there, Harry,
that President Troberg of the Yukon Order of Pioneers and Frank P. Young also was out to greet the governor here at the airport in Dawson.
Eunice Taylor and Mr. Cameron?
Commissioner Cameron.
Cameron. And who else?
Well,
Mayor of Dawson City and his wife.
Mayor and his wife of Dawson City.
That's right.
The time is now 6 minutes after five, and Frank Young and I have come back to the Yukon Hall to his car, and Ennis Taylor and Mr. Cameron and the officials of the mayor of the town of Dawson City will escort the governor of Alaska into town. Well, at 8 o'clock tonight, we heard the dedication of the old theater here in Dawson, and Governor Egan of Alaska was the principal speaker. And have you got anything to say on this, Andy?
No, well, Egan made a good speech there, and he was applauded a lot, and they were going to see the show here, the Foxy, and they're returning to Juneau in the morning. And this has been a wonderful day here. It's been real hot, up in the 80s, I believe it was here. During the parade, we started at noon, 12 o'clock, and all through the afternoon. And it's been a wonderful time here. And a lot of people from the outlying areas, they all come in for this, discover their celebration. That's all.
Well, now we're going to wander around to Community Hall next, I believe, and there'll be the drawing on the gold poke tonight. Let's hope one of us gets some of that.
Well, this is Saturday morning, and I got up about 8:30, and we got out downtown. It was raining early this morning. The time now is 10:30, and the sun is peeking out, and the clouds are going away. And Andy and Jens here, we're going to stop at a looking old store, early day store. And this morning we met George Gilbertson and several other old timers. Bob Steele was down and Black Mike visiting with him. We're trying to take Bob Steele down to visit the old Pioneer's retired home. We took a look around this old time grocery store and museum, hardware of all kinds. I took another photograph of the old-time theater over here where Foxy played last night, and we're going to move around town a little. We just now stopped here and took a picture of another old Pioneer building and also a picture of Jack Butterworth and Andy Winkin shaking hands here at 2nd and I don't know what this street is. Now I've just stopped here at, what is, Cully Store? What's the sign say over there, Andy? And he now owns the property where Frank Young as a boy lived here in Dawson. And he purchased it about 4 years ago from the estate of West. A man by the name of West operated for many years that property. In fact, he owned pretty near both sides of the street over there. And this gentleman here just told me that he had purchased it through the sale of the estate. That's how he acquired the property. Frank asked me that point when he was here. Now the time is 11:20, and we'll move down the road a ways and do some more visiting.
I had to stop and have this tire fixed the second time. We got up as far as the cemetery and took a few pictures, but we found a nail in it. And the nail's been in there a couple of 3 weeks, I guess, and it's finally give up. So I'm sitting in here in the Franklin's old garage, have my tire fixed. Well, I just finished having my tire repaired, and a young lady from Fairbanks here, but the Mrs. Darling, is it?
Yes.
What's your full name?
Arlene Darling.
And you're a painter?
Yes, that's right.
Where do you live in Fairbanks?
On Pegger Road.
On Pegger Road. And she's been interested in the Historical Society and been attending the meetings in Fairbanks occasionally. And we're sitting here in the streets of Dawson City right now. And I'm showing her a picture album of some of the pictures I've taken over the travels here recently. I went down and visited the museum in the bank down by the Keno, the Bank of Commerce.
Yeah.
And then I come around and had a cup of coffee with Andy Wicker, and now I'm up here to Mr. Corbo's home visiting with him again. And Mr. Corbo, you said you had an awful lot of visitors lately coming in. Who all's been coming in to see you?
Well, my daughter and her husband.
What's their name?
Swartz.
Swartz?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Swartz?
Yes.
And the children?
Hey?
Any youngsters?
No.
No?
No, no youngsters.
Mm-hmm. Are they and just then, up on the
The policeman and his wife, it used to be Miss Ballantyne.
Mrs. Ballantyne.
And I just can't think of the policeman's name. That he has some other offices at the present time. But there have been quite a few here, it's hard for me to remember their names.
You were in the parade yesterday.
Yes.
How did you enjoy the parade?
Fine. I was in among the, on the big truck.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a few. There was men there that I hadn't seen for a good many years. Mm-hmm. That's been out on the creek and come in for the parade.
Did Van Bibber come in to see you?
Yes, Van Bibber.
They didn't go back yet, did they?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to run down and see if they're still here.
Yes, that's right.
So I'll try to go see them next.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, we give you our best wishes.
Certainly I think a great deal of them. They're all great friends.
Well, thank you, Mr. Carver.
I thank you for coming and giving me this opportunity.
Okay. But the time is 2:45 right now, and I'm going to 2:45 I have on my time. So I'll be going to visit some more old-timers.
Mrs. Ennis Taylor asked me to take Mr. and Mrs. George Black down to visit the old folks' home in the Sisters building, and also to visit the hospital of the Sisters here in Dawson, and over to Sunset Home. I took them around to visit all these people, and then I went back downtown and picked up Bob Steele and took him around to visit the old pioneers. Bob Steele is a longtime resident of Alaska and Eagle, 36 years in Eagle District. He was in the early days in Dawson. And I've wound up my visiting of pioneers for this trip. This is Harry Hughes, and I'm finishing off, getting ready to start back tomorrow morning to Fairbanks and probably side trip to Eagle.
Well, we all turned in last night quite early, Saturday night, and this is Sunday morning, and we got up about 4:30, and it's
now 15 minutes after 5. We're sitting here in front of the restaurant waiting for them to open up, and also it rained during the night, and it won't really be safe traveling for a couple of 3 hours. There's still that low fog here, and when that raises, the weather will get good. There wasn't anybody out when we got out this morning, but they're starting to come out of the woodwork here in the old Dawson City.
Now, we just had our lunch in the Monte Carlo Cafe, and it says on the sign, where many a miner lost his poke to a lady known as Lou, and they had a wonderful breakfast of hot cakes and eggs and coffee. And we're all ready to go now on our trip down to the ferry and across the river.
Now, I went out to start to leave here, and I wound up with two flat tires. So I'm back here in the Monte Carlo talking to the manager and owner, and I'm going to get your full name on here.
My name is Gladys Pennington.
Pennington? And your husband?
Noel Pennington, Collector of Customs.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you want to tell me about your cafe in this summer here?
Well, we've had a very good summer. We can't complain at all. We've enjoyed the Foxy crowd and all the people that have come, Fairbanks and Anchorage.
Do you think you'll have to hibernate like a bear the rest of the winter to make up for it?
I intend to get some rest.
Well, we have enjoyed our trip here, and we were pleased to come in here and eat, too.
Thank you very much.
Mr. McAllister of the Log Cabin Motel here in Dawson City, I got up this morning at about 7 o'clock when I called him and come down and very accommodatingly blew up one of my tires so I could get over to the garage to get it repaired. I really have two flats, which I took a picture of to prove. This is Sunday morning. At the time now is 20 minutes to 8 in the morning.
Well, the time is 10:30 Dawson City time, and we're across the river now. We just come across on the ferry, free ferry, by the way, and it's a beautiful day, and the rain's gone away, and the clouds have lifted.
Hey, you're quite a poet.
And everybody's happy. We had three flat tires this morning to start off, so I know we're going to have a good day from now on.
Can you make some more of it rhyme?
That's little Andy in the background. Well, let's see. The time is 10:35 a.m. in the morning. We're about 6 hours late getting away.
You lost 6 hours.
Now we're up on top of the mountain here, almost to the summit, not quite. Leaving Dawson, we've passed 23 Mile Post, and there's a sign here that says Policeman Point Lookout, and it says two arrows, says to Viewpoint. It's mark yourself. The time now is 12 o'clock Dawson time and 11 o'clock Fairbanks time, and we're stopped out here at the spring about 35 miles from Dawson. And here I met a traveler here on the road. What is your name, sir?
Oscar Wilson.
Oscar Wilson. And your partner?
Richard Houston.
And where are you from?
Nebraska.
And this your first trip?
Yes, sir.
And what you've seen of it, what do you think about it?
Oh, it's really different. I didn't think there's so much woods and stuff.
Well, this is Andrew Wicken here in the car, a member of the Pioneers. And
I know you, Andrew.
That's Gents Walzine. He's a 52-year resident. Andy here is over 40, and I'm over 35 years.
Well, you're pretty good. You live right out here.
No, we live in Fairbanks, but we belong to the Dawson Order of Pioneers, and we come over there to the convention every year. We go to Ketchikan this year with the Pioneers of Alaska.
Well, that's good. Really nice. They keep something like that going.
Well, we're working to try to restore some of the historical things and preserve what's left. We're making an all-out drive to do it now. We're getting started.
It's going to cost a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of them are a little impatient. You see, Dawson City only started a couple of years ago to get started, and they think that it's like a gold strike, that everybody should shovel it out right now. Well, you got to work for what you get these days.
Well, that's with anything.
And this your wife here?
Yes, this is my wife. Mm-hmm.
This is all going on the tape.
Yeah. No, this is our first trip of the camp.
That's quite a recorder.
Well, and what is your name? Mrs. Houston?
No, I'm Mrs. Oscar Wilson.
And what do you think of this country?
Well, it's different than what I thought it would be.
It is?
I didn't realize it was nothing but trees and mountains and hills and water. That's all we've seen.
You didn't see any game?
Well, we saw a few moose.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all.
Well, we was over here the last trip. We met a bear about 13 miles out of Dawson on the road. Big bear, but we haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah,
we've seen moose coming over, though.
We saw a bear in Alaska.
No, we've seen them down Haines Junction.
Oh, I guess
three
it was.
Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. The time is Dawson time is 1:30 p.m. and the Fairbanks time is 12:30 p.m. and we're at the Canadian Customs Office at the border, and we're on the road down to Eagle. I think we'll go over to Eagle a little while, maybe. The things look good, and then we'll head back for home. And we appreciate all the courtesies we received over in Canada, too. Hope some of you folks can visit us later.
What do you change the time here?
Yeah, that's pretty. No, you put your name and the daughter's name on that. It took over. We got a full name.
Well, my name's Les Millen.
Mm-hmm. You're the immigration officer here.
We're all the customs officers.
Customs officers.
Yeah, that's right.
And the daughter's name?
Is Louise.
Louise?
Louise Millen, yes.
Mm-hmm. And she seemed to enjoy her trip, and I asked her if she was scared to ride with a new driver, and she said, no, not a bit. She's used to it.
Oh, the daughter that you took in is Leslie.
Leslie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was very very good of you to do it, too, and I
appreciate
it.
I'm pleased to have the opportunity to help.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And we're on our way again. The time now is 2:05, Fairbanks time, and we've come down off of the hill from the immigration station, the border station, and we're at George King's Lodge. It's called the Boundary Lodge, and it has a big crown on the sign up here and says the King's Place. And it's plastered with political posters, including the Gold Rush Festival, Dawson City. We had a little lunch and filled with gas, and we're on our way now probably to Eagle. The dredge we saw down on the creek below here is located on Walker's Fork, and it's a tributary of the 40 Mile River, and the dredge is abandoned, and it's sunk. We've just turned off of the highway from Chicken to Eagle, and it's 64 miles from this junction in the road, and the time is 2:15 p.m. Sunday afternoon. The time is now about 4:08 in p.m., and we're at a spring here on the Eagle Road, about halfway between Eagle and George King's Roadhouse. And we're on our way again. I took a couple of pictures here in the canyon a while back, so I'll remember about them. Scenic. It's now 5:30, and we're down in Eagle, Alaska, on the way down the hill here. I took several exposures. I took the last of my color pictures and started on the black and white. And I've taken one of Bishop Rowe's monument up here, and a couple of more around town, and this will be about the end of this tape at Eagle. And the mileage on my speedometer is 3,
5559. And that we'll check against the starting point. This is Sunday evening on the banks of the Yukon on a return from our trip to Dawson City. This is Harry Hughes, Andy Wicken, and Jance Walzine.